שלום לכם, תודה שאתם מצטרפים
אלינו. Hello and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello Dr. Lightman.
שלום לכם. שלום, שלום.
Hello everyone. Hello Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we would like to talk to you, Dr. Lightman, about things from our day-to-day life and to see your integral perspective on these things. Be with us, Tal, please. Yeah, we'd like to take a look at the educational system. There are many students that are studying from afar, online, distance learning, and if in the past we had complaints against the Ministry of Education, nowadays with the coronavirus, it creates lots of pressure and tension among all those that are involved. The Ministry of Education, they want to give students what they have to get in order for them not to reach too big of a gap between what they're supposed to come to and where they really are. The teachers, they have to do it, but they have a hard time doing it through Zoom, through the computer. They feel that the students aren't interested. Teachers are talking about teaching black squares on the screen, not knowing what are the kids doing. The entire situation of distance learning doesn't work out that well for most teachers. Even today, a teacher sent this on WhatsApp. She says, "Sorry for bugging everyone. I want to say that teaching on Zoom kills my energy. I'm at a point where I can no longer do this work." That's it. Teachers learn new things. We reinvent ourselves, but the screen is full of black screens behind which mostly there's no one. That's it. I had enough. So we reach a state where the teachers feel distressed, the students feel distressed, the parents are in distress. They have to watch over their children, but they also have to work. Everyone's frustrated. And this is what we'd like to talk about today. What are we supposed to learn about this situation? I think that the time has come that we will arrange the entire system of learning differently. That we won't teach, but that we'll learn together. Children and teachers, that we'll be partners in this process of studying, that each and every lesson won't be just a lesson, but that it'll be a talk, where we're as if sitting, all of us in a circle, each behind his own computer, but all of us together, and we are in an ongoing interaction, ongoing, ceaseless interaction between everyone, students and teachers, and the students between them and the students with the teacher. And this is what we have to do. Now, besides that, how many students do we have in a classroom? Depends. There are bigger, smaller groups, and teachers that have to deal with bigger groups, they have the hardest time. Those that relatively have fewer students, that's because of the form of how they used to teach. That's the old way of teaching. It's not supposed to be in what I'm recommending to do. They have to all the time be in mutual learning, in a group, in connection, in a circle. Every time, the students and the teachers have to all the time do exercises, that half of the teaching will be exercises, half the studying or learning will be exercises that they're doing on the spot, right here and now. Not that the student turns on the computer and goes play something somewhere. It's not start-stop all the time, but there have to be these activities where the teacher activates them, and they, in return, activate the teacher. And this is how they are all the time. I teach the same way, too. A group of students, usually it's around 1,500 students daily, 3 hours straight. It's during nighttime. People are tired. People fall asleep. They're studying an additional profession. And it's all working really It's based on letting the students in on questions and answers and exercises. It's a must. What happens if the students don't cooperate with the teacher? Suppose she wants to use this approach and activate the students, but there's no interaction. But before me, there's a group, and I know all the students, even by name. And I see them. I see who's missing, who's not, and why not. And I'm all the time connected to them. And they have to ask me, and I ask them. And all the material is for them to ask. And if they on their part, don't cooperate. You're talking, they're not cooperating. Suppose that teacher, she prepared a very interactive lesson according to the approach that you gave us. Amazing activities. She turns on the Zoom, the students connect by Zoom, and the lesson begins. She goes and follows interactions, activities, but you need to tango. One or two respond barely, the rest are playing on their mobile. How is she supposed to deal with this hardship? She has to all the time ask them, ask and answer. The entire lesson has to consist of questions and answers. That's how it is. Questions and answers, like a talk. That someone says half a sentence and the other student or friend answers the other half. And if she asks and they don't answer, then something's wrong, of course. It means that she's not activating them the way it should be on a lesson, so the parents have to know about it. It's like the kid's absent. Should the children feel that the content is relevant to their life? Maybe the fact that they're shoving lots of knowledge into them. This I don't know. But it has to be interesting, and it depends on the teacher and how she presents the material. And how she uses different games and competition and different things between the students. Now, to also give one half of the lesson, one half of the, to do it the following way, half the students should give a lesson to the other half of the students, and no lesson should be more than 30 minutes. So on every lesson, we should have the manager of the lesson, the teacher from the students, among the students, of course, and that this is how they manage things, to make them partners. We have material that we need to know, that it's good, worthwhile for us to know it. These are materials that we need it for life. And so now, we learn it together in order to use it later on in life. Oh, I want to get into the situation. Suppose the time has come. It's morning. How does the teacher start the meeting in order to cause everyone to get into the interaction? Suppose you're the teacher. We're starting. What do you say in order to pull us in? Only current events. What's going on in life? This is what she has to take. That it's clear to everyone that this is what's going on. And how to relate her lesson to that. But she has materials that she has to teach. Dr. Lightman, and she has to tie things together. Oh, and suppose you teach math. You have to teach, I don't know, something, some topic. Division. And you know that it's boring. It's to death. There are a few that like math, but the rest prefer to die. You have to learn math, Dr. Lightman. So take an example from life. What do we need it for? You have no problem in math that is unrelated to practical life. Math, what is math? It's a language where we tie things through some kind of formula. It's like you say, in the relationships between people, this happens because of this, because of that, because he told him this and she told him that, and so on and so forth. It's all math. Ask a psychologist sitting next to you. She'll tell you. she's talking this way to people, but actually on the inside, these are formulas of communication between people. Look, I can't demand this of a first grade teacher, okay? But actually, math is the language of the universe, of nature. It's all in all a connection between different parts, more or less this math. If I understand the principle that you gave us here, you said that she has to explain before she goes into the material itself. What do we need it for? Dr. Leitman, yes, so I have to take problems that happen in our day-to-day life, in the family, in the country, things that children are familiar with that happen to them, and to tie these things somehow to what we're studying. Tal, why is it important, Dr. Leitman? Then they'll understand that what we're studying isn't redundant. Otherwise, I can turn off the computer and go play. Tal, do you really think that it's necessary to take topics that are closer to their life and to really unravel it with them? Dr. Leitman, and only this way. This is how I do it. Try at least to do it. I can't always, you know, bring things down from the heaven to what's going on here on earth, but thank God, in our life today, we have the opportunity to do it. Owen, from the students' perspective, what they feel, I'm reading a bit of their descriptions of what they say. Their experience now is that it's boring, it's tiring, it's very hard for them to concentrate, and what they really want is just to meet their friends. They're saying, this is a quote, we're not used to this kind of learning. The tasks that we're given, the teachers, they don't really see us. For us, for them, we're like superficial characters. My first question is, why is it so hard for a child who's sitting alone in front of the computer to study? Dr. Leitman, because he has plenty of games and things and stuff that pull him in all directions. So what do you do? What do you do? You let a child play instead of learning? Dr. Leitman, then make the learning better than the game. Tal, is it possible? Dr. Leitman, you're saying as if you yourself would like to skip a lesson. Owen, a student has his mobile with games, with the entire world on it. Versus that, there's you as a teacher that came to teach him something. How can you compete with that, with what he has on his mobile? He turns you on the Zoom and see on the test. In the meantime, I have my mobile. How do you give him something that will intrigue him, Dr. Leighton? No, I can't intrigue him to a lesson, so much so, if there are different such things. Oh, and this is the distress of the teacher. You understand why she despaired? I'd never be a teacher in the virtual realm. How in this virtual era where you have so many temptations? What are these temptations? They're your competition. If you're a teacher, this is your competition. So what do you have to do in order to harness the students to the lesson with all the things that they have going on at home? Dr. Leitman, I don't know what to tell you. Because if we're incapable of giving them lessons that really capture them, that really come to them as an opportunity for an adventure, then we just have one thing left. To agree upon with mobile companies to turn off their mobiles. What are you laughing about? I don't think that will happen. Why? I don't even know why, but I don't think that it'll happen. Dr. Leitman, wait a moment. I'm a dad. I pay for his mobile and for his tuition. And that's it. I make an agreement with the mobile company that suppose from 8 till 12 or till 2 a.m. the phones are disconnected. Why not? Owen, I want to ask a principal question. I hear that there are two lines here. The one line says that you have to make sure that the student will feel that this thing is an adventure, that it's relevant to their life, that there will be an interaction in the study, and probably more things, and all these things are supposed to pull them into the study experience, the learning experience. This one side. The other side is that I have to reduce my competition that compete for their attention through the father, the cellular company, the whatever. So I have two lines here. One is to pull them to something interesting, and the other is to limit and restrict whatever distracts them. Yeah? What's the balance between pulling them to something exciting and to chop off the disturbing things? There is no balance. To get rid of all the things that have to do with their mobile that distract them, and to improve the lessons. I think that if there's something that attracts students or children or teenagers more than their gadgets is socializing, their social realm. How can you create that social aspect in the Zoom, in the social lessons? You said that you do it on your lessons. What can you recommend teachers? Dr. Leitman, do they feel that they're in a group, that there's connection between them, that they can connect with one another? I give them materials so they can talk to each other. It's children. It's not like the students that I teach. I teach grown-ups at the ages of 50 and on, usually. So that's something else. Is it important for them to feel that there's a connection between them during the lesson? Preferably. Why? Because this is how they help each other. They learn from each other. Shared as a sorrow have. Not only I'm suffering from this lesson, but everyone else is too, and so on. But it seems to me that all of these things won't help a lot, because altogether, our entire teaching and learning and this entire system and approach, they're all very anachronistic. It has to be gone. What's the central problem? To stop teaching the way that we do, and to shift to what? First of all, the fact that we teach virtually, that's good. That we'll continue studying virtually all the time, that's good too. I'm not expecting for children to go back to all these schools which is a source for drugs and pride and competition, stinky competition and whatnot. Owen, in the virtual realm, there are also sometimes very negative interactions. There's bullying, there's social isolation. Also, in the virtual realm, you didn't solve the bad relationships and negative interactions between children. It's the nature of things. It doesn't solve your problem. So what change? You said that there is something that is out of date, that's no longer relevant. What will be the essence of this change that will take us into the tomorrow? Please tell me. What does the religious, why does the religious part in the nation succeed in their education more than the secular part does? What's going on there? What, they're so pious? Of course not. So what's going on? Because they understand that from very young age that what they're studying is serious. The parents relate to this seriously. the parents are with them in this to some extent, and it's really a part of their life. And then children understand that this is life, that that's the envelope of life. This is what encompasses life, and there's no other way about it. And children are later, they can't leave it. What should be the correct integration between all the parties? We have the educational system, the specific teacher of that class, the students and their parents. These are four factors that we have in this system. What integration, the best possible integration, should be between everyone for the result to be positive? Children do not feel that what they are studying is important for grown-ups, for parents, and in general. They don't feel that it's important to the rest of the children around them. They aren't getting this example from home, and that's the main thing. That's the main thing. And therefore, this is what's happening. Now, with your permission, going back to that teacher that we started this discussion with, suppose that on part of the system, she's free to introduce whatever elements she wants into this distance learning. First practical step, what should she introduce into her class in order to advance her to something more positive and interesting? How do we bring importance to the students? This is the main thing. How do we bring the importance of the studying to the students? The importance of what we're learning. She has to ask herself. She and the parents. She has to also ask the parents. Of course. Teachers, Minister of Education, parents, everyone. How to make it so that our children will want to study, will want to know. Surely they'll need it in life. They'll also have to see, do we need it or not? So who has to change? The parents, the students, the system? I can't demand of the students to have importance. How could that be? And I also can't demand this of the teacher, for her to bring an entire new system and to start to do, I don't know what, theater and who knows what. But it is the problem of education that we're stumbling, that we're stuck in, totally, all around the world. Only more or less, children don't want to learn because they feel that there's no importance for what they're studying from the environment. Right, to give you a group of students. A classroom won't help me. I need the entire system. The first step that the system has to take in order to advance to better places, what would you recommend the system to do? Educational system. Practical advice. Disconnect mobiles. Disconnect televisions. To raise the importance of the learning in the family, the parents have to show their children how important it is. Otherwise, it will not work. First practical step for a teacher. The teacher has to be like a queen in the eyes of a child. That this is something that he gets from his family. This is beautiful, but can you explain? In the family, because we're talking about a little child, he hears from his mom and dad, he hears great and important things about his teacher.
בוא נעבור להורים, צעד ראשון להורים.
And the parents, that this is how they, this is what they have to show their child. Suppose you're my dad, what would you tell me about Tal, my teacher? That she's wise, that she finished university, that she's qualified, that she has a very special profession, because she is raising my child, and I asked around about her, and she's great, and she's really very special, and you can learn only good and correct things for life from her. Dad, but she's boring. When she talks, I fall asleep. You're right. So what do you do? What can I say? I, the student, first step, what do I do? I, the student, the heart of the problem, practical step, what would you recommend? Competition. What do you mean? Competition in the class. Competition over what? Over the learning. Who studies more, who studies less? According to how many pages they know, from what they understand, what they feel. The mechanism of grades many times isn't useful because it's not arranged correctly. Divide the class into two, half ask, half answer, and then they change roles. And what's the real goal? To turn them on. They all have an ego. Group against group. Yeah? So not as individuals where I have no motivation to move, but I'm a part of a group and we're competing with the other group. Exactly. Okay, our time's up. Let's wrap it up. The problems are clear with distance learning. What's the most important principle that we have to get out of this discussion in order to advance to a state where distance learning will not be that terrible? We have to understand that now we have a special, very special opportunity to finally make a big change in the entire system. And this entire system. And we have to do it. And the heart of the change is what? The participation of the parents and the students, children and teachers together in order to build a human being. That's the main thing. For a child to see that a human being is being made out of him and not that he'll just know chemistry, math, whatever, because that does not interest him. What interests him is dancing. He has to know that all of these professions are important, all these subjects. Dr. Lightman, everyone has to participate in it. Everyone has to know that this system that was established 200 years ago, this system is now finally coming to a change. Good luck. Thank you very much. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. Good luck. Till next time. All the best.